So my title will be, thank you so much for the organizer to give me an opportunity to speak here. And so actually I'll be very glad to discuss something I did when I was at the beginning of a graduate student in PI a lifetime ago. And so this will let me revisit a very interesting field, and there's many insightful ideas behind it. So this was based on the first project I studied during my PhD at PI. At that time, my English was probably too bad that I couldn't have more than one collaborator at that time. And so whenever I learned a new approach towards quantum gravity from a different direction, it actually gives me a new view of the world. So here I'm trying to present us different axes as different fundamental constant, that here I temporarily ignore the cosmological constant and the large number of degree of freedom here. And then we consider what kind of effect is relevant in different regime. So in this conference, especially the quantum reference frame and the gravitational switch, we learned a lot about this regime of the physics. And so when I was learning the canonical loop quantum gravity and the spin form, it is an approach that taking the general relativity as starting point and goes towards this direction, and the holography and especially modern ADS CFT is going towards this direction. And so there is a very interesting regime is that if we consider very high energy situation, that particle itself, the wave package are quite localized, and the energy is so high that so the Planck mass physics become relevant there. So this is a regime of relative locality that Li has introduced yesterday. It's a regime that we take H bar and G both go to zero, but keep the Planck mass scales physics to be relevant. And so there are many insightful wisdom behind it when Giovanni, Lohan, Ulrich, and Li, the two of them are here, was constructed the model at the beginning. So first is a deepening of relativistic principle between observer and the postulated fixed space-time structure that we used to describe physics. Because what we are fundamentally measuring, especially in the high energy regime, that we do not directly measure the space-time structure, but rather we send the probes, probably a photons or other particles, to some detector and receive them. And we count, we measure energy momentum spin and also the times of the clocks that it takes. And our knowledge of space-time geometry is constructed from such measurement of the probes. However, when we construct the physics, we throw away those momentum information because we assume that space-time is unique for all the observer, even in the high energy or Planck scale regime, that the energy momentum, it's just a four vector lives on the cotangent space, or lives on the tangent space of space-time manifold. And the information usually wouldn't built into our construction of the world. And so also this framework allowing the momentum space to have a non-trivial geometry as a deep realization of Born duality. For this topic, we'll come to ask Lohan more about it, that in recent years, he has a lot of development in his program of meta-string theory to realize this Born reciprocality between the space and the momentum space and describe the physics in the phase space. And so this framework also allowed to take into account of possible microcausality of an interaction event that's probably relevant at the high energy scale. And so this is actually realized by the non-commutativity and the non-associativity of momentum addition. And so, so the construction is based on in the previous theory, the deformed special relativity of studying the Planck scale modification of Lorentz symmetry. And we expect that there are probably some new physics in this regime of its classical and non-gravitational in the sense that we take the limit, but we do not set those constants to zero, hence keep the Planck's mass fixed.
The second to last point, taking account of possible, do you mean here violation of preservation of microconservatism?
So here it will be precise later. It is the order of addition of when you consider an event interacting, because in the quantum gravity regime, actually the interaction vertex might be fuzzy. So to assume like associativity and commutativity of how you add those momentum is a big assumption we put in the usual field theory. This will be more precise later. And so more specifically in the mathematical construction, the dynamics is written on the phase space. That's different with general relativity as the cotangent space of space-time manifold. Here is the cotangent space of the in general relativity is the tangent space of the space-time manifold, and here will be the cotangent space of the momentum manifold. With momentum space can possibly have metric connection, and taking momentum space as primary, as Li introduced yesterday, that because how we construct the space-time is measuring the momentum of the particles, and then we reconstruct what's the structure it probes. And so the idea behind the relative locality is also that at such a high energy level, there is no universal classical space-time picture we attach those notions on. And so the space-time emerged from the fact that they are dual conjugate variable of the momentum through the canonical conjugation relation. And so the addition of momentum becomes an algebraic rule here, and with a defined inverse. And the form of vertex here, in the sense of reflects microscopic causal order, in the sense of different additions of order matters a lot for interaction vertex. Because then, through a different order of addition, you actually, through the non-trivial connection on the momentum space, you actually get the different physics result. And the curvature on the momentum space measures a lack of associativity of the momentum addition, and the torsion measures lack of the commutativity of the momentum combination. And so the original theory they wrote down in 2011 is a toy model for the classical particle. Well, for the particle in the relative locality regime, this is really the simplest action one can write down to realize the idea that, so here you observed, usually particle dynamics is x dot p. Here is the reverse of the role of space of space-time and momentum. And here is the mass shell condition and the interaction vertex imposed by Lagrangian multiplier. The equation of motion gives to tell us how each particle propagates on the cotangent space, on the momentum space. And then this part with the varied action, apart from imposing the momentum conservation, it also tells us how each endpoint of the world line of a particle combined with the interaction vertex at the interaction point. So actually, the view of relative locality is that the space-time is sealed together by the propagating particles, high-energy particles, and their interaction events. So each particle and the interaction, they are living on the different cotangent space of the momentum manifold. If one observer assumes that all those space, which cotangent space are flat, are actually actually one space-time, and the x and z, the dual variable of different momentum, and the z is the dual variable of zero momentum, are the coordinate, if they assume they are the coordinate of the one universal space, then they will come to a conclusion that if something happened at a very far distance and with a very high energy scale, if at a high energy scale, if we're considering the the case that the non-trivial connection of the momentum geometry will be relevant. Here we'll have this extra term will be relevant for the observation in the sense that the ending lag of those interactions that sealed together by this interaction will be looks non-local if the Z is large. So since the structure of space-time has already radically changed in this framework, then how about its causal structure? And so within the series framework, how we check anything is a solution of the theory is that we write down, we predefine what is the interaction, what's the propagation we are looking at. We write down the action, and then we associated the equation of motion in this graph and check its solution. And so then the causal relationships, so this is closer to the in gravity sense, is that if two events can be connected by free propagating light-like or time-like momenta, then it is within its causal domain of its future or past. Hence from the, we can, so this is not a geometrical general relativity sense of causality, but it is a sense of between the different events, like if something is in the, if an event and another event are connected by, let's say a free time-like or null particle, then it's in its causal past. So then this construction later being taken into development by Marina and Lee into energetic causal sets based on the such a structure. And so then I want to check what's the simplest causal loop and whether it could possibly be a solution of the theory or not. So here I'm considering that a time-like particle from A propagating to B, and then there's an interaction vertex. And then I associate a time-like particle from B to A. So this is like a very extreme case of the closed time-like loop. And then I write down the conservation of momenta on the interaction vertex. Hence, I can derive the equation of motion from the action and then look for whether it has solutions. And need to mention that in the limit of special relativity, this trivially tell me that all the light, the combination of the time-like momenta with the positive proper time in front of it, if this is zero, this cannot be happen. So in the limit of special relativity, we can see easily that such a situation wouldn't happen. And so to make it more precise, I was looking at like a simplest, at that time was the most well-studied situation of the momentum space. So it's based on the kappa Poincare half algebra from a dimensional deformation of the Poincare group. And so it describes a momentum space with the Sitter metric, torsion, and the non-matricity, but with vanishing curvature. Later, so even last month, there's a new work in Giovanni's group discussing about the Snyder momentum space. So people have been studying example of non-trivial geometry of momentum space. And so in this situation, the line element in the core moving coordinate is as falling, and we can write down the mass shell, which is defined as the geodesic distance between my momentum and the origin of my momentum space. And then we can realize the addition rule algebra as the precise form. Just for the, so this technical detail probably you can ignore. So here I want to say that one can derive nice property based on associativity or non-commutativity rule of momentum, because P plus Q here isn't, so P plus Q with derivative on the Q is different. So P plus Q is different with Q plus P in this case. And so those operators defines how you transport between the different cotangent space associated with the different momenta. So those U and V are transport operators between those cotangent spaces. And so then I was looking for solutions. It turns out that for this simplest case, one can find a lot of solutions. So here is a ratio of the momentum with the Planck scale with this explicit interaction vortex. You change the interaction vortex, you get different type of solution. However, it is interesting that to solve this equation of motion, not only we need to find the possible momenta to realize such a loop, there's also, we solve out space-time coordinate that explicitly depends on momenta. And then when I look at this in a high energy scale closer to Planck scale, x goes towards to vanish. Oh, sorry, the opposite. When I look at the low energy scale away from the Planck scale, the x goes towards infinity. Yeah, because here is p squared with kappa, and here, yeah. And so to further analyze what those loops really are, I look at a more general loop that's suitable for studying this framework of relative locality. So we need to write down the interaction vertex, write down the momentum specific momentum conservation rule there, and define the transport operator, which is the transport between the cotangent space of one particle's momentum to the cotangent space of another. And then imposing the equation of motion around the loop, let us derive such an equation that so this, so I will explain later by a diagram what exactly it is. But when this holonomy around the loop, this product of operator around the loop to be identity, the dependence of the space-time coordinate dropped. So in those loops, there will be the loop, the holonomy around the loop to be identity. There is an effective flatness coming from the non-trivial momentum structure, and it will have a translation invariant. So more precisely, what is the operator does is that, so when one consider any physical process by three interactions and a loop, and then how the theory tells us is a map between the different space-time of where the particle lives. And so if the holonomy around the loop is not identity, I transport them around the whole loop, it doesn't come back to the original shape. Well, for a flat loop, then the itself, the structure is preserved when I transport along it. And so this is like a dual effect with its analogy to a dual effect in gravitational physics, in the sense that here we have an effective curvature from the non-trivial momentum space geometry. And it is reasonable to think of it labels, it started to labeled by the space-time coordinate, because like for geodesic loop in general relativity, the information is given by how it's generated by the four momenta. And so here that will be a dual related with a dual variable on the conjugate variable of the momentum space. However, intuitively or physically, it is a bit difficult to interpret, because this is like a strange loop can happen. A theory can allow such a loop process, but it can only happen at a certain space-time points relative to some observer. So then I went into further analysis, like how I can eliminate them. Although they do not cause any grandfather paradox or any logical conflict, but it's good to know that how much I can map the notion of causality in relative locality to the usual what we are familiar with in special relativity. So then an important notion is that, so for this type of non-associative but non-commutative but associative momentum space, it is important about the order of addition on each vertex. And so if the addition around each vertex are same hand or same left hand or right hand order, if all the additions are in the same order, we will say that the loop is orientable, or the loop is, can be embedded in a flat space. And then we can prove that an orientable loop can lead to a flat holonomy around the loop, so there's no effective curvature, and hence those loops are translation invariant. And it does not depend on where the events happened for an observer. So and this can be proved from both sides. So imposing one condition, one can derive to the other, at least in the situation of Kappa-Pankel momentum space. And furthermore, we can prove that those orientable loops are definitely causal. They do not lead to any closed time the loop, closed time-like loop situation. And but from the opposite derivation is non-trivial. And this also explained why. So the dropout of, okay, this part of technical detail probably I do not need to say. And so also interestingly, there is another event that this is also like a dual effect in gravity. We can impose the momentum conservation on each vertex, but there can be a global momentum non-conservation due to the effective curvature in the loop. And the simplest case is just a swamped order of the nonlinear addition of the momentum. And so we can also prove that, so the orientability and the global momentum conservation, these two are equivalent concept in the Kappa-Pankel momentum space. So the summary of the result is, due to this non-trivial sewing of the cotangent space as the whole world view of my space-time, the equation of motions allows me to find the solution of the closed time-like loops, but they do not lead to any logical paradox. One can ask the question is, if it goes to the quantum regime of such a theory, this might lead to non-unitarity. This is the typical questions one asks in CTC in the quantum field theory. And so, but what we can prove that at least for with associative but non-commutative momentum space, if a loop is orientable or effective flat, doesn't have the curvature from the momentum space, those loops have the causal, satisfies the causal relation and will be translation invariant and have the global momentum conservation. And non-orientable loops takes an effective curvature caused by this combination of nonlinear interaction. And so those results are consistent with later in Giovanni's group, the analysis, the causality and the momentum conservation, and the interpretation is slightly different in the sense of if we impose translation symmetry, we can eliminate all the strange situation to happen in the theory. So in quantum gravity regime, we expect that the notion of locality and causality to be non-trivial and deviated from our current knowledge. And this can be viewed from many aspects that, so in a gravity sense, the fundamental notion of interaction is at a point, but then diffeomorphism maps the point around, and then if you consider that I'm sending a probe with so high energy on the interaction that it's trying to probe what's a structure around a point, it actually creates, you will create a black hole if you concentrate the energy in a small regime. So from the most naive sense, the locality will be different in our, what we are familiar with in the quantum field theory in the high energy regime. And we also know that in classical gravity, causality is as rigid as classical geometry that you can use null hypersurface to separate the different causal regime. And we also know that the diffeomorphism observables conserved quantities are at most a quasi-local sets. So they're all defined relative to the closed boundary. of certain region. And in the framework of quantum field theory, we know that locality, causality, and the spin statistics, they are all precisely and tightly related to each other. For example, you can prove that by the commutator of the time-like separation of the of a Fermion field needed to decay exponentially when they are space-like separated. Use that to derive that they have to satisfy the anti-commutation relationship. And so in this conference, we also learned that for the quantum reference frame, the new result of observer-dependent locality and observer-dependent of notion of entanglement in the regime of at least the result is around low energy and a non-relativistic regime. And in quantum information, we heard that the superposition of channels leads to interesting notion of the causal structure, of interesting definition of the causal structure. And as many approaches of quantum gravity actually taking the definition of causal structure as starting point, such as causal set, energetic causal set, and also causal dynamical triangulation. So it's very important to know that from the quantum theory aspect, what's the proper formulation of quantum causal structure, hence aids our study of quantum gravity. Okay, thank you. I finished.
I'm just trying to understand how this relativity and locality leads to these causal loops.
Mm-hmm.
Is this because the two collisions disagree on where the other collision happened? That simple loop, is that what's going on?
So for one collision, to take the frame of one collision as a local observer, the other collision will be non-local. Yeah, and so in this sense, you map to a single space-time, it relaxes the locality in that vertex. And in this formulation, when I solved the equation of motion, is trying to sewing together the different cotangent space to find whether there is solution that from this. Yeah.
They can disagree in such a way that they can cause a loop.
Yes, so there's those loops, because when I write down the Lagrangian, the vertex of conservation of momentum already need to be defined there. So it doesn't lead to grandfather paradox, like I come back to the past and change the interaction. So for this type of giving action, write down the interaction vertex, then all the what's the event that's already predefined.
It's already, it's defined as consistent in the first place.
Yes, logically consistent. Yeah. And one could see something interesting happen if you do statistical ensemble on the system. A statistical ensemble? Yeah.
First was, I wonder about the status of particle and field in this relative locality in general. It seems different researchers working on relative locality have different ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has some ideas and Noah has some ideas. I don't know if your idea is different from both.
The work presented here was the very initial study of their first model. Later, different researchers take the wisdom initially rather than the specific form of Lagrangian and developed a very rich structure. And
I'm just interested in your perspective.
So
maybe let me ask a question first. So it seemed at the last slide when you do the summary, it seems to suggest that you want to go to field theory. It seems that you're suggesting that now we're dealing with particles.
Mm-hmm.
Next we want to deal with field theory.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
So essentially, if you want to probe the relative non-locality or non-locality due to quantum gravity effect, it's essential to go to the field theory framework. And so for within this framework, actually there has been students studied a field theory construction on the non-trivial geometry of momentum space, and it is complicated, but there had been progress in that direction.
So when you describe this causal loop, is there any sense in which that's an especially quantum thing? It looks like it could be classical as well. You just have two particles that go in opposite time directions and intersect.
So
is there any superposition involved?
So here there's no superposition involved because I take h bar goes towards zero. And so it will be interesting to study actually in the quantum regime. So this is a different, very different notion of the non-locality.
Okay.
I learned from a very different notion of non-locality and a different notion of the indefinite causal structure from the here, what we learned in the workshop.
Okay. Good. So I mean, there are several things I could ask, but I know this is motivated by h bar and g going to zero but keeping m Planck fixed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But suppose I never thought of doing that, and I was presented with the formalism here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there some, like what I'm trying to say, could this not, this kind of thing set in at any distance scale above what we've measured at what we've measured at LHC? Like maybe this happens at the 10 TeV scale or something. Is that possible, or is that necessarily ruled out? Like I want relative locality. I don't care about Planck scale. Here's the relative locality formalism. Could it happen at just above LHC energies? And if so, what would happen if it were true? Is that or is the first thing not possible?
Very good. Okay, if I only know the theory based on the prediction they have, Lohan and Lee have worked out in the gamma ray burst, the relevant scale is like, for the scale much higher than, so for the gamma ray burst times energy scale, it also needs light years of distance to have a measurable effect of deviation. And so for LHC, then the uncertainty of momentum and P and X are already contained this part of the non-locality. So in LHC, if the vertex, so something happened there, we only measure the asymptotic state actually. So it's already asymptotic free particle when it reached the detector. What really happened there, how much non-locality it has, I don't think in the current framework of LHC.
Sorry, you don't.
I don't think in the current framework of LHC could detect this. Because LHC,
he's asking, imagine that the Planck scale is not the Planck scale. It's the TeV.
Oh, okay.
Same.
Oh, then the first thing is the deviation of the Poincaré symmetry. That if, yeah, if.
Well, not only if you have no metricity. So if you have curvature, it's not a violation.
If I have curvature, so it's like if it's Snyder momentum space, that direction I didn't study. Yeah, but actually there's a paper just come out last month about if just the curvature, but no torsion about momentum space and what's the prediction.
I think if it was just LHC scale, then you could rule out non-metricity and torsion. Right? So you would say relative locality has to be purely curvature, like gravity, which is not ruled out.
Okay.
It would not be ruled out.
Any last question?
Another question. So the way you've in the Bronstein cube there, the way you've drawn it is that this relative locality happens not so much at but near the vertex because you're taking the point. Is there a sense that there's interesting physics near the other vertexes as you take the limit but keep something constant?
So yeah, very good. So actually, when I was drawing this yesterday, I want to plot precisely that CH bar divided G to be fixed. Then it will be a precise regime in this block. So this is, you're considering H bar and G coming to zero, like uniformly, but with a scaling of C with H bar. So it's a very particular regime close to the corner. But it's not at the corner point because.
So what about physics near to the other vertexes?
Then there will be special relativity, because we have G Newton goes to zero, H bar goes to zero, and then this will be special relativity point. Here will be Newtonian gravity point.
And yeah, if you're close but not at, will there be something different?
Yeah. See, if you don't go along the axis, but you go along the other diagonals.
Yeah, along the other diagonals, thank you.
You mean here?
Any of the
on
vertices.
This plane, any
of the vertices.
Any,
ah, that's
the vertices along different diagonals.
That's a good question. So actually, I think like the gravitational switch discussed in this conference, that the Dobloy wavelength relevant for the physical system and the quantum effect, gravitational effect and Dobloy wavelength relevant, but I'm at a low energy scale, is around this corner. This corner on the cube.
Okay.
And so then this regime, it will be this classical Newtonian physics. And here is particle physics, quantum field theory. And here is my classical, here will be a black hole merging strong gravity regime, but only if I can only observe if only the observable are classical. And so then it's very interesting to see the like many, many approaches, how we approach this corner from the different direction.
Let's thank Vivien again.
Sorry about the